The Gospel of Luke, more than any of the other Gospels, demonstrates the importance of prayer in the ministry and life of Jesus. And so as we go through a series on Luke, today we turn to the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. We'll be reading Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't give up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not give up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Even in this familiar prayer, something struck me in a new way this week. As the world watched Russia go to war against Ukraine, our first response to that trouble was prayer. Missionaries sent prayers to their supporters. People posted prayers on Facebook. Friends in our congregation asked us to get together to pray to God. It's kind of like how sometimes when we have trouble, our first thought is to call our parents. "Mom, I'm sick. Dad, I just got in a car accident. Can you help? Hi, folks. I lost my job." We call our parents because we trust them, we know they love us, and we expect them to have compassion, and they may even be able to help us. Thinking about how we turn to our parents for help and how we have longed to come together to pray this week gave me a fresh perspective on what Jesus taught us about prayer. We've been on this journey through the Gospel of Luke with Jesus and the disciples, and the disciples have been watching Jesus. They probably followed the Jewish traditions of daily prayer at home and special prayers in the synagogue, yet they see how much time Jesus spends in prayer. He'd rise early in the morning to go up on a mountain or out into the wilderness. He'd pray late into the evening, sometimes even all night. Jesus seemed to pray continually. So a disciple asked, "Teach us to pray." What a great request. Even if we already have healthy habits of prayer, I imagine most of us long for an even deeper prayer life. And we want Jesus to teach us too. And besides Having seen how important prayer was for Jesus, the disciples also knew that John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray. Sometimes leaders of small communities would develop unique prayer practices. Praying together can build unity and a sense of purpose. And like those who followed John, the disciples of Jesus are becoming a close community. So they want to learn from Jesus how to pray together. So Jesus told them, when you pray, say, Father. Father. This is what stood out to me this week. Jesus taught them to say, Father. Throughout Jewish history, the prayers and psalms mostly call on God as Yahweh, Lord, or Most High God, Adonai, Master, Elohim, God, Shepherd, Lord God Almighty. The prophets sometimes describe God as a father, yet we rarely see them calling God Father in prayer. Now, the disciples have heard Jesus pray to his Father. They know he is the Son of God. So I wonder, were they surprised that they also are invited to pray to God as Father? Jesus here invites his disciples into a deeply personal relationship with God, encouraging them to call upon God using the same name he uses, Abba, Father. He invites his disciples to call upon God as children call upon a loving parent. We can come to God as trusting children, putting our hands in God's hands, knowing that we belong to God, and God wants what is good and life-giving for us. Scriptures present a few pictures of God parenting us as both father and mother. Psalm 103 says, "The Lord is like a father who has compassion on his children, for he knows how we are formed." Psalm 131 describes us like a weaned child in her mother's lap. Even though some earthly parents do not care well for their children, Jesus gives us a picture of a beautifully redemptive parental relationship. God is everything a parent should be. Loving, kind, good, strong, caring, always looking out for our well-being. Our Heavenly Father will never leave us nor forsake us. Our Heavenly Father is a perfect parent, always faithful. We can depend on God. In a way, it is also a great act of faith, a sort of holy boldness for us to call God our Father. We are signing on for the kingdom of God when we follow Jesus in praying to our Father in heaven. Now, we're living in a sort of in-between time, between the first coming of Christ and his coming again. And we can rejoice that Christ already has the victory over sin and death, and we long for the full, decisive victory. We celebrate God's kingdom now, and we pray for Christ to return soon and usher in the new heaven and earth. Especially now, as the kingdoms of this world grasp for power, upending the fragile balance of peace, we long for God's kingdom to prevail. And even now, we do see signs of God's kingdom on earth. In videos of ministers in Ukraine standing among their people, of students singing, of Christians coming together to protest the war and to pray. We all pray for God's name to be hallowed and for God's kingdom to come. The Decker family opened our worship today with Psalm 145, with every generation praising the King for his mighty acts and for his compassion and goodness. Psalm 145 also proclaims that God's people tell the glory of God's kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom, And God's dominion endures through all generations. Throughout history, God's people longed for this kingdom. And then Jesus came to earth. He came to bring release to captives, to offer abundant forgiveness, to restore God's justice. And he constantly prays to his Father for help to fulfill his mission in God's kingdom. And now he invites his disciples to pray for that along with him. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus did carry out his mission for God's kingdom. But it isn't quite the kingdom that everyone expected. Even for us, it's not yet what we really long for. We're still praying for God's kingdom to come. We want God's reign to be more evident everywhere. We want all the kingdoms of this world to come under the rule of God. And yet, we remain in the in-between time until Christ comes again. So we need to keep on praying, keep on living into the Lord's Prayer. N.T. Wright suggests that we look up into the face of the Father in heaven and commit ourselves to hallowing his name. And then we look immediately out upon the whole world he made, and we see it as he sees it. Thy kingdom come means see the world with the love of the Creator for his spectacularly beautiful creation, and see it with the deep grief of the Creator for the battered and battle-scarred state in which the world now finds itself. Wright concludes, the love and the grief join into the Jesus shape, the kingdom shape, the shape of the cross. When we pray for God's kingdom to come, for the redemption of the world, for justice and peace to prevail, for heaven and earth to come fully together, and for God to be all in all, we need to be prepared to live it out too. We need to pray, help us to be cross-bearing servants of the King. Enable us to watch for signs of God's kingdom breaking through, and equip us to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And as we pray this way, we become participants in God's plan of redemption. The other petitions in the Lord's Prayer flesh out what will happen when God's kingdom comes. Everyone will have the bread they need each day. We will experience the forgiveness of our sins through the abundant grace of God, and we will readily forgive those who wrong us. All our broken relationships will be restored. And God will deliver us from times of trial and temptation. In this prayer, Jesus teaches what to pray about when we call on our Father in heaven. And then Jesus offers further lessons about how to pray. Jesus encourages us to keep coming to God, to ask and to seek and to knock. God is our friend who will respond to our need. And Jesus promises that God, who is our Father in heaven, is even more loving and generous than any earthly father. And this Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So then we need to ask. We need to pray with shameless audacity. We need to be in constant communication with God our Father, who is able to do far more than anything we could ask or imagine. We don't always know how to ask, do we? And sometimes we don't see how God is responding. And yet we need to trust that God will send his Holy Spirit to groan with us as we pray. We can pray to our loving Father about anything that we need personally, whether our basic needs like daily bread or discernment about big decisions. We can ask for stamina for our work, patience with our neighbor, comfort in our grief, good lab results or successful surgery for strength to get through each day. And we can pray to the Almighty God for the needs of the community and our world, for the process of choosing leaders for our church council, for the progress of the Nealand Building Project, for renewed vitality in our ministry programs. We can pray for an end to the pandemic, for wisdom for the leaders of our country and the other countries of the world, for an end to the war against Ukraine and peaceful solutions in other parts of the world, for daily bread for those who are starving, for justice and mercy and love to abound. When we see Christian leaders in Ukraine and that area of the world, and when we read their prayers, we're jarred to realize that though they pray for peace and protection, they are aware that those prayers might not be answered as they hope. And still they pray. They pray with trust and love and confidence, knowing that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of encouragement and hope, will remain with them even now. And we should join them in prayer. After all, Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father about our daily bread, our sins, our temptations. We're all in this together. Often it isn't easy to be a Christian, but when we journey with other disciples, fellow children of the Father, we can help each other. Together, we look to the Heavenly Father who is actively involved in all our lives. The church is our family. We've been baptized into the body of Christ, and as we live into our baptism, our daily dying and rising with Christ, we need to learn to pray together what Jesus taught us to pray. We pray it with the faith family at Nealand and with Christians all around the world, in Ukraine and in Russia and in every continent on this globe. As the Church of Christ, we join in prayer together to our Father. We respond to God's invitation to be his sons and daughters, holding out the healing hope of our Father to a hurting world. We need this prayer to help us grow into a rhythm of standing in the presence of the pain of the world and kneeling in the presence of our Creator God. Corrie ten Boom once said, "The wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something and enter God's realm where everything is possible. He specializes in the impossible. Nothing is too great for his almighty power. Nothing is too small for his love." So we should pray. Praying the Lord's Prayer should become a habit, like so many important things we do, eating breakfast in the morning or brushing your teeth before you go to bed, putting out the trash, saying thank you for a gift, hugging your kids when they come home from school. These habits are too important to be left to chance. And praying to God is even more important. So it's a habit we need to practice, a daily habit of bending our lives toward God will become a lifelong practice of devotion. Dallas Willard once reflected on his own habit of praying the Lord's Prayer throughout his life. In his early years, he simply recited the usual words. Then he says, "At some point, for reasons I cannot explain, I began to use it a new way, taking each phrase of it and slowly and meditatively entering into the depths of its meaning, elaborating within it important details of my current life." Then he says, "Now sometimes I go immediately to the end or the middle and settle in there for a while. At other times, I will use just the words of the address, 'Our Father filling the heavens,' to establish my orientation. as I go through the day. Willard's practice sounds like a worthwhile habit for us to practice. Many Christians focus on daily habits of prayer during Lent, the season leading to Easter. And since Lent begins on Wednesday this week, I want to encourage you to practice praying the Lord's Prayer every day during Lent. You may use this shorter version in Luke that we read today, or maybe the longer version that's in Matthew 6 is more familiar. You may pray it silently or out loud. You may speak it or sing it. You may use sign language or draw or use other visual expressions. In my church in Ludington, artist Ellen Alderink painted a series of postures for the Lord's Prayer using the Matthew 6 version. And I want to invite you to pray this version along with me and with the paintings. And we'll stand up, and I hope that you'll try the postures too. We'll go slowly enough to give us time to silently pray for our own needs and for God's kingdom as we pray together. And then after we pray the Lord's Prayer with this artwork, we'll move right into praying with the song, Abana in Heaven. Abana is Arabic for Father. And thus we will join our voices with Christians in the Middle East and around the world. Let's stand and pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power of God.